O Lord, this day open our ears to hear your word and to know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills that we may serve you today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think there's one more song that we should sing this morning that we forgot to do, and Ken's going to play that now, and I think most of you will recognize it. If you do, join in, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Now, Pastor Greg, do you know why we sang that song?
Yeah.
Why? It is the birthday of the church today. How many of you knew that? Raise your hand. I see some of you remembered because you wore red, which is awesome. Yes, it is called Pentecost. This is the day that we celebrate the birth of the church. 50 days after the Passover, the Jews celebrated one of three major feasts, the Feast of the Pentecost. It was also known as the Feast of the First Fruits or the Feast of Weeks. And so Jews from all over the world traveled to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate this festival, and it was the only place that God had authorized them to celebrate, and that was in the city of Jerusalem. But on this particular Pentecost, there was something different about the celebration that was going to take place. The Holy Spirit, and as Angela mentioned earlier, also known as the Counselor, that Jesus has promised to them, was going to come, and everything would change. It changed the disciples, it changed the world as the gospel began to spread. And there were 3,000 that came to faith that day. And so that is why we mark today, the day of Pentecost, as the birthday of the church. And this morning, as we celebrate this birthday, we're going to look at what I call the ABCs of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came, the apostles, he gave them three things. A, the ability, even the special ability to speak in different languages. B, boldness, the courage that they would need to carry on their task. And C, for clarity, because for the first time they really understood God's plan of salvation for them and how it fit all together. And so we're going to look at the ability, the boldness, and the clarity of Pentecost. They are what the Holy Spirit gave the apostles that day, and that's what he still gives to each one of us in this day and age. And so we're going to start with the letter A for ability. How did the Holy Spirit give the apostles ability? Well, it was a very extraordinary way for them. As the Holy Spirit rested on these apostles, there was a very unusual phenomena that occurred. First, there was the sound of a violent wind, and it was tearing through the house, loud enough to get everyone's attention. Second, they saw flames on the top of everyone's head, resting on each one of them. But it wasn't exactly fire. For you see, none of them were burned. None of their hair was even singed. And if these first two things did not get everyone's attention, then the third certainly did. All of a sudden, these apostles were able to speak different languages. Most of these men were uneducated. They hadn't gone to school, they hadn't studied, but yet they were able to speak in all these different foreign languages on this day of Pentecost. The reason for that is so that everyone could hear about the wonders of God in their own native language. So these are the three signs: the sound like the wind, the flames like the fire, and the foreign languages that were spoken. These are very special things that happened, and they had very special purposes in mind for us. They would get the people's attention, obviously. Advertisements, if you will, that something big was going to happen. These signs were given to the early Christian church as they launched into their mission that Jesus had given them to spread the gospel to the entire world. And that gospel did spread. It spread like wildfire. And the apostles were given very special abilities that day, given to them by the Holy Spirit, so that they could quickly reach every nation, every tribe, and every language that was present in Jerusalem. But what about us today? What about we who are gathered here? Does the Holy Spirit come to us? Of course He does. It's not exactly the same way as it did for those disciples on that first Pentecost day, because He comes to us not with the sound of a violent wind, but with the quiet whisper of His Word. He comes to us not in flames of fire, but in the waters of baptism, bringing us faith in the message of the gospel. He points us to our Lord Jesus. So, why don't we get those special abilities to carry out our task? We, to be honest, we do get them. While my preaching this morning may not be accompanied by the sound of a violent wind unless I was to blow into the microphone, God has given Pastor Hafen and myself gifts, just as He has given gifts to each one of you. There's probably, as you look around, we don't have 3,000 people running in here this morning to come to Trinity Lutheran Church to hear the Word of God. But God has given both of us abilities, and He's done the same for you. He's given us all gifts and abilities. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of what these abilities and gifts are. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them in prophecy, in proportion to our faith, in service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, and the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And God has given to each one of us talents and skills and abilities. And He's given to each one of us those skills. They are gifts. They are treasures that we are to use for His glory. He's given us everything that we have that we might use it to share the message of the gospel with others. And He has given us more than those abilities. The second item in the ABCs is the word boldness. The Holy Spirit not only gives us the abilities to share the gospel, but He changes our attitudes to give us the courage to share the gospel, just like He did for the apostles. I never thought that 30, 40 years ago I would ever be standing in a pulpit having the opportunity to share God's Word with His people. I know it's hard to believe, but I was a very shy person. In fact, if I entered a room, you probably didn't know I was there. I still exhibit some of those traits, but God, through His grace and mercy, has allowed me to share that Word with you today, and hopefully in weeks and years to come when the opportunities present themselves. A few weeks before Pentecost, on the days and weeks following Easter, where did we find our disciples? Pastor Allman, do you remember where they were? They were hiding, that's right. They were hiding where? Behind locked doors. They were terrified that those who had brought about the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus were now out to get them too, as His followers, and put them to death as well. They were scared. They were feeling alone. Those 11 men were anything but being bold. But now the Holy Spirit resting on them, look how things have changed. But others mocking them said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them, men of Galilee and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So what do we see? The disciples are no longer scared anymore. Now they were out in the open, publicly, and they were preaching his word boldly to the people who had gathered with them. They didn't care if they were thrown into prison now. They didn't care if they were physically abused. They weren't intimidated by threats, and they wouldn't stop preaching even when they were faced with martyrdom. The worst their enemies could do was to kill them. But even in doing that, they couldn't touch them and take away their salvation. And so Peter and the 11, who were recently hiding out, are now out and about openly proclaiming God's word. And it is with courage that Peter stood up and he answered those who asked about those special signs that were shown at Pentecost. The good old Lutheran term, what does this mean? And he told them that this had been prophesied. And when you go home today, I encourage you to read the rest of Acts chapter 2. You will see how Peter boldly preached the law, condemning the crowd for their sins, and then sent Jesus to the cross. But then you will also read how he boldly shared the gospel, giving them the comfort of God's forgiveness. Well, what was it that gave Peter that courage? It was the Holy Spirit, the counselor that Jesus had promised that would come to give them power and give them the truth. And that is the same Holy Spirit, my dear friends, that is poured out on us in this day and age. He comes to us through the Word and also through the waters of baptism. Paul went on to write in 2 Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power." And that, dear friends, is that same spirit that belongs to each and every one of us. When it comes to the gospel, there is no need for any of us to be timid. We have the most valuable information that anyone could ever have, and we have the truth of God's grace given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to imagine now that your name was put into a raffle to win an all-expense-paid trip, and we're going to say to paradise, and we're going to pick, instead of Kersey, we're going to pick Hawaii. Okay? And you find out that not only do you win, but your boss heard about it also, and guess what? He wants to give you an additional 2 weeks of paid vacation to celebrate this great thing. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and be timid? No. We'd be out telling who? Everyone we could possibly tell. It might even be strangers. Maybe even if the Greeley Tribune came and sent a reporter to us to interview us, would you refuse to be interviewed? Oh, no. I'm too shy to talk about what I won. Of course not. You're going to be excited. You're going to share that wonderful good news with everyone that would possibly want to even listen to you, whether or not you knew them. Well, we have a lot more exciting news to share than that. We have an all-expense-paid trip to paradise. And I don't mean Hawaii or Kersey. We deserve to die, but that is not what we are getting. We get life. We deserve hell, but instead, what do we get? Heaven. I was called yesterday by Roger and Kim Munsterman to come and see them. And believe me, that's not an experience that I've had opportunities such as Pastor Hafen has had and through his ministry. But it was a time to be with them and to share the good news. And I shared with them that Peggy was with her Lord and Savior right now in paradise. And what a wonderful message and what a wonderful comfort to all of us to know that too. We were given eternal life in the paradise of heaven with Jesus, not for a short time, but forever. So, my dear friends, there's no reason for us to be timid or shy about that. We have the most valuable information that anyone could have, and the Holy Spirit is the one that will give us the boldness to share that good news, the courage that we need. Who cares what our enemies can do to us? The worst that they can do is take our life. But again, they can never touch our salvation. So I encourage you today to be bold in your witness and let the Holy Spirit give us the words to say and to speak to each other. For He already gives us the Bible and He makes it clear to us. And now we come to the letter C in the ABCs, the word clarity. At the ascension, at Jesus' ascension, the apostles still didn't know what Jesus was all about. If you remember, they asked Him, "Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Now are You going to kick the Romans out of our land? Now are You going to bring that in the time of peace that You promised? Now do we get to become rulers and kings?" They were picturing God's plan of salvation was pretty fuzzy, even at best. But not after Pentecost. Now it was clear. Peter said these words, "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh, and you and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on My male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out My Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And guess what? Peter got it now. Now he understands. Everything happened to Jesus just like the Old Testament prophecies said they would. And everything was going to happen to them now just as the prophets had foretold. Though only in a few days earlier, he didn't get it. And now he tells the crowd, "Joel told you this would happen. What did you expect?" And Peter understood. Jesus was not talking about a physical political peace. He was talking about the peace that comes between God and us as man. Peter understood that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And he understood the gospel. God is coming again soon in judgment on this sinful world, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it is the Holy Spirit, my friends, that gives us that clarity. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, "Therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We may not have tongues of fire on our heads, but we do understand the Scriptures, and we have the plan of God's salvation given to us through the Holy Spirit. And it is that Holy Spirit that gives us the clarity that we need. Not just pastors, not just men, but everyone can have that clarity that the Holy Spirit brings, regardless of your sex, your age, your status, just like Joel prophesied. "For your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even My male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out My Spirit, and they shall prophesy." But, and by the Holy Spirit, we all understand what we deserve. I think every one of us gathered here this morning knows that we ought to suffer an eternity in hell for using our God-given abilities. Not to praise God, but for our own selfish gain and for being also too timid to stand up for Jesus. But we also know that by the Holy Spirit, we understand what we get. What we get, really, is God's grace. We don't go to hell, but we get eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's not what we do or do not do. It's all about what Jesus did. And so now we get it. So now I encourage all of us, let's share that good news. Peter made it clear that the last days of Joel's prophecy began with the Pentecost celebration. We are living in those last days right now. All that's left is God's plan of salvation is the judgment day to come, the great and glorious day that the Lord, when the Lord comes, for the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. And in that day, our Lord Jesus will come to take us home. And so now, my dear friends, it's time for us to act, to not be timid. Now is the time for us to prophesy. And what I mean by that, it is time for us to speak on God's behalf. It's time for us to use the ABCs of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit gives us. Use your gifts, use your talents, and spread the good news. I encourage you to witness boldly as you share the message that has been made clear to you. Tell others about God's law and the impossible demands that He makes. But don't just stop there. Then we are to share with them God's grace, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it is in His precious name, dear friends, that I ask it, and I pray for that for each and every one of you gathered here today, as well as myself. In His holy name we ask it. Amen. And now, let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I would invite the congregation to stand as we make confession of our Christian faith, and we go to the third article of the Apostles' Creed in Luther's small catechism.